So here and now, let us share the peace. Let us share it loudly. The peace of Christ be with you. Sisters and brothers, you may be seated. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. It's going to be one of those kinds of Sundays. I love it. Welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in beautiful, lovely Stockbridge. Welcome to this place and welcome to this time. Welcome just as you are. Welcome with all of the baggage you carry and all the dreams you hold in your heart. Welcome with all of the gifts you bring with you and with all the laments that weigh on your heart. Welcome this morning to those who are dads, and to those who this morning find themselves thinking about their dads. Welcome whether those thoughts bring you joy, whether they bring you heartache, or even if they bring you a little bit of both. Friends, welcome to this place. Welcome to this time. Let go of everything that has happened to you this week. Let go of everything that still has yet to happen before next week can begin. And just be here in this time and in this place, just as you are. For you, all of you, are welcome and cherished and honored. So welcome. If you are new here, we would like to get to know you better. So if you're new, you will notice in your pew there are cards that are there. I don't have one to hold up for you, but I promise you they're there. They are cards with a beautiful picture of the church on it, and they are cards that contain a place for you to be able to fill out information so that we can get to know you better. If you are new here, please put one of those in this basket as it goes around so that we can get to know you better. I would ask you also this morning to take out this green sheet. This green sheet describes the life of this community, and I would like to invite anyone who has an announcement to make about the life of this community to come forward now to the microphone and do so.
Next Sunday is our all-church picnic, and there's a flyer in your bulletin. And it has a map on the back, and it looks very complicated, but it's only a 3-minute drive away. And if if you need help deciphering the map, see me at coffee hour. But please take this home and read all the details about the picnic, and know that it's a highlight of our church year. It's a beautiful place to go, Mohawk Lake, and you're all invited.
Thank you, Cindy. A couple other things about next week to draw your attention to. One is that there will be a pickup choir next week. What is a pickup choir, you ask? Here is what a pickup choir is. A pickup choir means that those who want to sing in a choir, those who want to make a joyful noise just like this group did this morning, are invited to come next week at 9:15 in the morning. Evan will run through a couple of quick songs with you so that you are prepared. But if you'd like to be part of a pickup choir, all you have to do is show up. Whether you can sing perfectly or not quite, just come and be here. The second thing is, I invite all of you to come back next week for a very important reason. We are going to be inviting and welcoming new brothers and sisters into our congregation. We are taking in new members next week. There will be a whole bunch of them that are joining this church once again, and we need you, because when members join this church, it is an act of covenant between the church and them, and so we need your voices to be out there welcoming them in and promising them all the love and support that they will need to be members of this church. So I hope to see you next week. Now, speaking of people I hope to see all of the children, and I hope to see them right there. So if there are kids here in the room, come on up and join me on the steps. Right, come on and have a seat next to me, right here on the steps. So, how are you guys this morning? You're good? All right, I'm glad to hear it. I don't know all of your names, and I'm not sure you all know each other either, so can you introduce yourselves to each other? Irving, Ben, and Andrew. Well, nice to see you. So, Irving, I got a question for you. Where did your shirt come from, the cool shirt you're wearing today? Came from Frank, and do you know where he got it from? He got it from Ghana in Africa. Absolutely. And the reason I ask you that question is my dad and my stepmom just went to Africa. They spent time there on a safari. They rode in hot air balloons to watch the animals walk underneath, and they spent about 3 weeks in Africa. They had a really good time. And you know what my parents do when they come back from a trip? It's really kind of fun. Just like Frank, they bring me presents, which I really, really like. They brought me this soft blanket. Feel how soft this is. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Here, Irving. And they brought me this because they came from Africa. Now, what is this? It is a rhinoceros. It is. And I like this rhinoceros. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did my parents bring me presents? What do you think? Because who doesn't love, what's that? Exactly. Because they love me and they want to share with me what their adventure was. Did I do anything to earn this, do you think? No. In our passage today in the Bible, we're talking about a similar sorts of things. The thing I want you to remember this morning is something like these presents. When I get these presents from my parents, here's what happens. I look at them, I think about them, and I smile. It also makes me want to be a better person, not to earn anything, but because I realize how happy this made me, so I want to make other people happy. Here's what our passage today said. It says that God loves you. God loves Ben, God loves Andrew, God loves Irving, all of you, not for a single thing that you've done. That your love comes from God because God loves you and simply wants to give you the gift of love, that you don't have to earn it. What God hopes, though, is the same thing will happen with that love that happens with these presents, that you will think about that love, that you will enjoy that love, and more than that, you will want to share that love with other people. So what I want you to remember today is that God loves you, not because you've done something to earn it, but in the same way that I got these presents, because God wants to share God's love with you and wants you to share it with everybody else. Is that something that you think you can remember? Yeah. Okay. Before you go back to your seats, let's just join. Can we hold hands? And in the congregation, if you want to hold hands too, that'd be great. Let's say a prayer together. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, say it out loud with me. If not, listen and learn it. Let's pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so there's two choices for you today. You can either go back to the pews today, or you can go join Jody in the nursery. So either one you can do, but thanks for coming up here. So today makes me a little bit sad. The reason it makes me a little bit sad is that I'm aware that for the next few months, I won't see you in these beautiful robes. I won't have you behind me singing melodious sonnets in my ears. It makes me sad that you're going away. But today we as a church want to honor and give thanks. Give thanks for you. Give thanks for your gifts. Give thanks for the music that you bring to our life together and the way that music helps us to reach God in ways that words alone cannot. So here's how we're going to do that today. We're going to do it in a couple of ways. We're going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for this choir. Now, in your bulletin, you will find an insert. Of course, if we're going to do a prayer for a choir, there has to be a little bit of singing. So you'll find this "Thank You, Lord," hopefully, insert in your bulletin. Here's how this is going to work. In just a moment, I'm going to have the choir stand up. Not yet, but in just a moment. They're going to stand up, and they're going to turn around and face you. We are first going to say a prayer for music, in thanksgiving of music in general. And the choir, after that prayer is done, is going to sing "Thank You, Lord," so you can learn it. Here's where it gets gutsy on our part. The next thing I'm going to do is say a prayer in thanksgiving for the choir. The choir sings to you each and every week. Each and every week they bathe you in their music, and I bet it feels good. You're going to bathe them in music today. So after that second prayer, the choir is not going to sing this response. Instead, the congregation is going to sing "Thank You, Lord" back to them so they can be bathed in music. There will be a third prayer in thanksgiving for this church, and then we'll all sing together. So choir, I ask you to stand, and I ask you to face this wonderful congregation. And let us now be in a time of thanksgiving and a time of prayer. God, we give you thanks for the gift of music, for anthems that soar and give us a glimpse of who you are, for spirituals full of life and truth and encouragement, for hymns so familiar that they are worn into the grooves of our heart, and for new music that stirs our imagination. God, we give you thanks for Christmas carols, and peaceful and quiet as the silent night on which Christ was born. And we give you thanks for Easter hymns that resound with the breathtaking truth of your love. We give you thanks for opening hymns that welcome us in, and for closing hymns that send us out in joy. God, we give you thanks for the gift of music. God, on this day, God, we give you thanks for our magnificent choir. We give you thanks for the way they lead our worship. We give you thanks for the way they help us to know you and the way they enliven our worship and our very lives. God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given them. And on this day, we give you and them thanks for their hard work, their practice, and their commitment. We give you thanks, God, for those times, those special moments here in worship where their gift helps us transcend the limitations of language. When their music helps us to grasp your truth in ways that give life, love, joy, and hope, God, we give you thanks for this choir. God, we give you thanks that you have called us together to be a church. We give you thanks that you call us to accept the cost and joy of being your disciples. We give you thanks that you call us to be your servants in the service of others, that you have given us good news to share. God, this morning we give you thanks for this place, for our bonds of covenant, and for the path you have set before us. Guide us, God. Give us strength that we may walk that path to the glory of your holy name. And now let us all sing. Amen.
The gospel reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, on page 897 in your pew Bible. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denaro and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May God add meaning and understanding to this reading.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One thing that I have come to know with absolute certainty is that Luke, our brother Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke is a great storyteller. If you read Luke's Gospel, you will see how Luke weaves a tapestry that tells us just who this Jesus of Nazareth is and just why it matters. If you read Luke's Gospel, here's what you will get. You will get descriptions of the areas that Jesus walks in. You will even smell the smells as they approach a town. You will see the dust on their feet, and you will meet all kinds of people. In Luke, for instance, you get the most complete birth narrative of all. It is the one we turn to Christmas after Christmas after Christmas. At the center of that great story that we are brought into is an angel. And that angel is talking to a shepherd, one of the lowliest of the low. And this is what the angel says. It is a message that comes through Luke in every story. The angel says this: I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. All people. No asterisk. No disclaimer. And then Luke spends all of his gifted storytelling ability showing a Jesus who lives into that truth, extending the great news to all people. And especially in Luke, and perhaps most importantly, to those people who live on the margins of the world. People whose lives are so often and easily overlooked. People whose problems and issues are the stuff of everyday life. People that are easy to look past, over, or around. There is, for instance, in the very beginning, there is the story of Anna. You may not know Anna, but she's right there when the baby Jesus is brought to the temple. Anna is 84 years old. She has lived in the temple as a widow for over 60 years, begging for food, living on subsistence. And Anna sees Jesus, and it says that she leaves. She leaves to go spread this great news to all people. Anna gets it. There are stories in Luke about Jesus cleansing lepers. There are stories in Luke about Jesus sitting and eating with tax collectors. And even in Luke, the Pharisees that get such a bad rap in Matthew. Jesus spends time with them like he did today with Simon. Luke never wants us to forget that Jesus is good news for all people, even those Pharisees. Now, to set the stage for the story that Diane read for you this morning, in the 7th chapter alone of Luke, Jesus has responded to the call of a Roman centurion, a powerful, likely wealthy man who has many people underneath him. The centurion's slave is dying. And so he calls Jesus and says, "Come." And Jesus does. And Jesus heals that slave long before he even sees him. Right after that story, there is the story of a grieving widow who is burying her only son, destined to be alone like Anna for the rest of her life. And he responds by bringing that son back to life. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is good news for all people. Powerful Roman soldiers and their slaves, widows who are grieving, and families torn apart. See, Luke wants us to know that the good news is for everyone, so that anyone who hears Luke knows that that good news is for you and for me too. This morning, as Luke tells us the story of the woman and the alabaster jar, and the good news that causes her to weep with joy, he wants us to know that we should be weeping too. But before we get to that story, yesterday I got to do one of the favorite things that I ever get to do as the pastor of your church. It was a day that I love. It was a day in that room right there. There were 10 people crowded around a table that was really set for 8, but we made room for the 10. It was a connections class. It was a new member class. And while that gets grumbles in a lot of places, I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite days of the year, and here's why. Is that class brings people together from all backgrounds and perspectives, and we get to talk together about why church matters, what we think, what we believe, and how we want to live. We talked yesterday about our own journeys and where we've come from. We talked a whole lot about love. We talked a whole lot about welcome. We shared stories of forgiveness. There were tears shared around the table, just like tears of the woman with the alabaster jar. There were tears where people shared joy and love they experienced in this church. And then there were the tears of the people across the table who heard that story and couldn't help but respond. We talked about how our faith is more than a thing of the mind. It's a calling on our lives, something that brings us together in honest relationship, something that should take all of who we are. We talked about the covenant of this church to serve and be served. And we talked about the United Church of Christ, of which we are a part, exploring, among other things, its statement of faith that makes this claim. Hear this claim because it applies to you. God promises to all who trust forgiveness of sin and fullness of grace. It is a promise that the woman with the alabaster jar knew so profoundly in the depths of her being that she could not help but weep, that she could not help bend herself over Jesus sitting at the table and anoint his feet, his dirty, dusty feet, with perfume and her hair. Luke wants us to know that that great news applies to each and every one of us too. Friends, I know in churches, and especially in congregational churches, and especially in places like New England, we don't talk about sin a whole lot. We keep that nice and private. We keep that in our own private genre that we're supposed to deal with somehow, but we don't talk about it in church a whole lot. But today our brother Luke forces our attention in that direction, and for that I'm grateful. And the first thing that you need to remember as we embark on this chat about sin is that Jesus is good news for all people. For the woman with the alabaster jar, for me, and for you. If you heard Diane's story, Luke said that she was a sinful person. Now, Luke's a great storyteller. He provides detail all over the place. But notice, he never here says what her sin is. Oh, people have made up all sorts of things about what this woman's sins was. It's easy to do. We make up what other people's sins are. But the reality here is that Luke never mentions what the sin is. Remember, Luke wants us to find ourselves in this story. But we do know this. Her sin has become a burden for her. I don't think just in her reputation or in her daily life, not just in crowds where people might gossip about her or talk about her or whisper about her. I think her sins became just as much of a burden in her silent moments when she was all alone. When those burdens found their way into her heart. Because that's what sin does if you don't talk about it. That's what sin does if you leave it inside. It becomes something that we can never talk about, something that bottles up inside of us. And sometimes we struggle to talk about it, especially in a holy and sacred place like this. Friends, when we keep silent about sin, It festers and grows and gnaws at who we are. It's what sin does. There's other good news in this story. There's debate about this. There's always debate about this. But here's what I'm convinced of. The grammar in this story makes one thing clear. This woman is not doing, her sins are not forgiven because of what she did for Jesus. Her sins are not forgiven because she showed extravagant love to Jesus. Luke's grammar, I think, makes it clear. She does what she does for Jesus. She weeps and cries and bathes his feet with her hair because she knows in the depths of her heart that she is forgiven. She knows without a shadow of a doubt that she is free to be the beloved person God created her to be. If you heard what Jesus said to her at the end of this story, he says, "Sister, go in peace. Go live your life in peace. Be all that you can and might be." And she, in that moment, has no way to express the gratitude for that truth and reality other than putting her whole body into it. There are not words, just like our choir sometimes brings us to places that words can't go. She cannot express what it means to be freed of those burdens other than to love Jesus back, and that's what she does. In my former life as a dean, I read a student development theory that relates to this and that has great meaning for me. It says this: studies have shown that people live to their fullest, live to their capacity, live most openly when their projected self, who they want everyone else so desperately to think they are, and their real self are as close together as possible. Here's what Jesus is inviting in this story: for us to be open in this place about who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives, so that who we project ourselves to be as sisters and brothers is actually who we are, so that we might live into the beautiful relationship the church calls us to be. A wise person once told me they had no problem joining the church. They had no problem with the words that we say, with the promises we make when we join a church. The bigger issue for this person was imagining the call on her life and what it would mean to take all of what we profess in this room seriously. Today, here's the only thing I want you to take seriously. I want you to take seriously that God loves you for exactly who you are. I want you to take seriously that God asks us to bring exactly who we are openly and honestly in front of God so that God might relieve us of any burdens we carry, whatever they are. What I want you to do today here in this beautiful sacred room is to be fully and completely who you are, because that's all God ever asks you to be, and to lay your sins, yes, your sins, mine too, in front of God, so that you might, like the woman with the alabaster jar, might experience that joy. Friends, I know talking about sin is hard. I know that talking about our shortcomings with others is hard. Christian life is never supposed to be easy, but it is breathtakingly beautiful. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do today. Immediately following my words, we will sing, because music does things words cannot. We're going to sing a song I bet all of you know, "Just As I Am." We will sing the first two verses of that song, which says this: "Come before God just as you are. Bring your whole self before God." There will then be time for you to pray in silent confession for any burdens that you carry. Friends, let them go and feel the amazing joy that God waits to give you in forgiveness. Please remain seated to sing this song. Sisters and brothers, will you rise to your feet as you are able, because I have some great news for you. Friends, I do not know what you prayed for, but I do know this. I know that our brother, the Apostle Paul, was convinced. He was utterly convinced. He had no doubt in his mind or his heart of this truth, that there is nothing, nothing in all of creation, neither life nor death. There is no height or depth. There is no angel or demon or earthly power. There is nothing that you have ever done or nothing that you could ever do that would be able to separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Is that good news? If so, say amen.
Amen.
Let us sing of that good news. Seated. One of the ways that we bring ourselves before God is in prayer. Each and every week we come together in prayer to connect us to God and to one another. This morning I will ask you to share the joys and concerns that you have on your heart so that we may pray about them here in this space and so that you may take them with you in the days to come. Sisters and brothers, what joys and concerns do you have? We give thanks for the life of Mickey Johnson. We ask God to take her into God's loving arms and for the prayers for her family. We lift up Sharon as she recovers from this surgery and that she may have health and wholeness as she heals. Other joys and concerns. Yes. A prayer for luck for the four-leaf clover and thanks apparently for the lack of pesticides. We give thanks for both. Other joys and concerns this morning. Yes, Casey. We give thanks that, Casey, your medical scare has turned out to work itself out. We give thanks for that. Oh, sorry.
I just want to give thanks to all the fathers and wish them well on Father's Day.
We lift up all dads, wherever they are and whoever they might be. We give thanks for our forebears whose lives were lovely, true, and brave. Speaking of fathers, I now ask Diane to come forward and to lead us in a special prayer for fathers, which will be followed by our unison prayer.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayers today as we celebrate with love and gratitude our fathers, grandfathers, guardians, mentors, father-in-laws, stepfathers, husbands, and children. Hear our prayers, too, for those who have lost their fathers, for those who were not able to be fathers, and for fathers and children who are estranged from each other. Give them peace. We pray for those waiting to be fathers, that you watch over them in their excitement and anxiety as they prepare their hearts and their homes. We pray for young fathers, for those who had not planned to be fathers, and for those who have no positive role model and mentor and may not have been fathered well themselves. We pray for those who just plain don't know or don't think they know what they're doing. Give them all the strength, patience, and understanding to not walk away. Give them the courage to try again when they feel they have failed. Give them wisdom. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will not leave you orphaned." Remind us every day that you are with us, that you love us, and that we are children of God. And so we join together in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks that you pour out your love for us. We give you thanks for love and life and blessings. We ask you to be with us in the midst of our pain and sorrow and struggle. We give you thanks that no sin or burden is too great for your forgiveness. Give us the humility, tears, and kisses of the woman with the alabaster flask of ointment, that we might grow closer to you and one another through simple acts of love. We give you all that we are and all that we carry, asking that you anoint and bless us as she once anointed and blessed you. Amen.
Friends, here and now we have a chance to give thanks. Here and now we have a chance to open up our hearts and our lives. Here and now we have a chance to partner with God in the healing of this world. That chance is in this offering that will now be given and received.
Thank you.
holy and loving God, bless these gifts. Bless them that they might go out from this place in signs of love and hope and healing. God, bless all who have gathered here today, that we might leave this place with your love and with your peace. We pray all of this in the name of the one who came and saved us all. And let the whole church say, Amen. Amen. Friends, our time of worship here in this place is drawing to a close, that our worship of God might begin again and anew, beyond the walls and out in this world. A couple of invitations before you go your merry way. First of all, once again, I invite you to come through those doors. I have seen the food. It is good. You do not want to miss it. So come right that way. Also, I wanted to highlight on your green sheet a couple of things that are happening later today. The Albany Gay Men's Chorus will be doing a concert right here, right on these steps. I believe it's 3 o'clock, and all are welcome to attend. And then there is a showing of a film this evening. That Terry Wise and Mission in Action has drawn to your attention right below that on CNN. And so check that out as well. Friends, what better way to close worship than in song?